120 miles from Russia. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. President Biden's visiting one of Russia's neighbors. He's in Helsinki, Finland, wrapping up a trip to Europe.
Finland's prime minister is hosting President Biden a day after the two wrapped up meetings with NATO allies in Lithuania. The president is also taking part in the U.S. Nordic Leaders Summit with the prime ministers of Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Iceland, with a focus on security, environmental, and technology issues. It marks the third such summit between the U.S. and Nordic leaders, following meetings in Stockholm in 2013 and Washington in 2016. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
There was no deal by a midnight deadline, so TV and movie actors are set to go on strike, pending approval during a union leadership meeting today. The last actor strike was 1980. It would be the first time since 1960 that actors and writers are on strike at the same time. The writers have been picketing since May. One issue is residual payments for projects on streaming services for actors. Union members have to make so much money a year to keep up their health insurance. There are also concerns about artificial intelligence costing jobs. It's supposed to rain in Vermont today. They don't need it.
As floodwaters began to recede, leaving damaged property behind in central Vermont, Governor Phil Scott warned of even more rain in the forecast. And while he said the estimate was for 1 to 2 inches,
they can try and predict to their best ability, but I wouldn't say that we knew that we were going to get 7 to 9 inches in this past storm.
Governor Scott said they were especially keeping an eye on dams in the state. The Wrightsville Dam came within inches of breaching the spillway.
And trying to make sure that we allow for some capacity as we can to lower, create more reservoir capacity at Wrightsville in particular.
Wednesday, emergency management officials said they completed over 200 rescues. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Hundreds of flights were canceled and there's damage, but no injuries reported in tornadoes in and around Chicago. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. When a restaurant closes, my reaction is, that sucks. They had good steak. When regional banks close or three of them close overnight, it freaks me out. This is why I have my own personal gold reserve. It's part of my personal protection plan. Call my friends at Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-GOLD.
That's Mike saying good morning. It's the best he can do right now. Yeah, not a cloud in the sky. What Mike could use is a fresh start. And Irish Spring Body Wash. The fresh scent of Irish Spring and those sensational Irish Spring suds are just the reset Mike needs. Now he's ready
to go to work.
It's Sunday. Irish Spring. When the spring hits you, you're ready. Pick up Irish Spring at Walmart today.
A fatal hit and run in Washington, D.C.
A 75-year-old man was killed Wednesday and a 13-year-old hurt after both of them were hit by a car near the National Mall and White House. U.S. Secret Service says that car had been stopped for an expired registration. The driver apparently took off, running a red light, hitting the man and the teen. The man was hospitalized but died soon after. Police have issued a Be on the Lookout bulletin as they hunt for the driver of that car. Jill Nato, Fox News.
An Army veteran, Christopher Arthur, faces up to 20 years in prison in North Carolina.
Federal prosecutors say he ran Tackleberry Solutions. That's a company with the stated goal of teaching wartime tactics to everyday citizens. A confidential informant told Arthur agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives had seized weapons from his home, and he expected those agents to return. During his trial, a jury heard recordings of Arthur explaining how to set up explosives and other traps around the informant's house.
Fox's Tom Graham. About 110 million Americans across the southern U.S. are under heat alerts. Southern Europe's getting hot weather, too.
Weather forecasters are predicting a deeply uncomfortable weekend. 104 degrees on the Italian island of Sardinia, 111 in parts of Greece, and a sweltering 113 in southeastern Spain. Italy's put 10 cities on high heat alert for older and vulnerable people, while the Greek government has banned access to forests and nature reserves to reduce the risk of forest fires. The Mediterranean region is predicted to see temperatures rise faster from climate change than many other parts of the world. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Delta Airlines reporting record quarterly earnings. Pepsi beats earnings estimates, both raising their outlook for the rest of the year. Dow futures are up 79 points ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. I'm Chris Foster. This is Fox News.
Here's a look at local news. I'm Jim Miller. The governor issuing a disaster proclamation after severe weather hitting parts of the state June 29th through July 4th. Proclamation for Coles, Cook, Edgar, Hancock, Medina, Morgan, Sangamon, and Washington counties. It allows local entities increased access to state resources and emergency personnel who can assist in response and recovery. An attorney for fired Northwestern football coach Pat Fitzgerald considering possible legal action. Dan Webb says he's exploring potential breach of contract claims against the university. And new president Michael Schill suspended Fitzgerald last Friday following an investigation into hazing allegations against the football program. University of Illinois Police is being recognized as the top department of the state for responding to mental health-related emergencies. Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board presented U of I Police Chief Alice Carey with the 2023 award for the CIT Department of the Year. You're up to date from the Stevie J Broadcasting Newsroom. I'm Jim Miller.
Thank you, Jim Miller, ESPN 93.5. Good morning. Brother Johnny's in town.
Nice. Well, it's always good to check in, Steve. How's it going up in central Illinois?
Pretty good, I think
it is. I like the rain. It's been a little wetter.
A little foggy.
Diane Ducey's here. Weather brought to you by Urbana Park District.
Play day in the park between 5:30 and 7 at King Park today. And they're keeping our teenagers with grades between 6 and 12 busy this summer on Fridays from 6:30 to from 3:30 to 6:30, there's a fresh hangout zone happening at Blair Park. So get your kids off the screen and get them interactive and busy. That's happening tomorrow. UrbanaParks.org for details.
Meteorologist Greg Sawyer, we had a few tornadoes in Illinois yesterday.
Yes, huh? Wow. Yeah, we had 8 of them in the Chicagoland area. And never before have we had one on the ground at O'Hare Field and another one on the ground, not at the same time, but within a few hours' time at Midway Airport. And it was the first, the Midway one occurred first, and then coming out of the north central parts of the state, and another 1 to 2 inches of rain in some of those fields west of Chicago. And so it has been a very wet month there. We got some pretty good soaking rains north of Champaign as well. The old Champaign split occurred last night with most of the action shifting into areas of southern Missouri, breaking the heat there temporarily. But these ridge riding ring of fire complexes and disturbances are back in the forecast here early on into the weekend and the second half of next week as well. So if for some reason you're on the shorter side of the rain gauge, most have not over the past two and a half weeks, we'll get more. Certainly, no worse than seasonal temperatures and rainfall prospects heading through the rest of the month of July, too. So kind of a win-win, and looking up here from a corn and soybean field standpoint, if you've made it through the dryness, the drought, and, of course, the derecho a few weeks past. Out the door this morning, a little dampish feel, but the winds have turned northerly. We'll get some slightly drier air in here. Half-mile visibility, Wilderness Savoy, 64 there, 65 Danville, 62 at Rantoul, 83 later this afternoon. Clouds, various fog around for this morning, a partly sunny afternoon. We may cook up one lone shower thunderstorm, probably east and south of Champaign later this afternoon and evening time. Otherwise, overnight lows tonight, 66, partly sunny, stray shower thunderstorm late morning and afternoon, late in the day tomorrow as well, with a high up to 87, and some widespread showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night into Saturday morning, half to an inch expected worth of rain. 68 tomorrow night, and up to 86 with a brighter, drier Saturday afternoon. Good looking Sunday, partly sunny and 88. Back into shower thunderstorm chance Monday, and more likely Wednesday, Thursday next week. Again, nothing out of control on temperatures with daytime readings in the low to mid 80s. For Steve Day Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solge.
All right, thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. It's ESPN 93.5. Happy to welcome to our program. Her name is Ashley Hayek. Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fine. What is America First Works? Is that what you do? Your executive director?
Yeah.
What is that?
America First Works is the advocacy arm of the America First Policy Institute. So basically, we know the policies that work. We know what policies worked in the previous administration. And so we're working in the states to pass legislation and really give power back to the American people.
Sounds good. FBI Director Christopher Wray met members of the judicial panel yesterday.
FBI personnel apparently conducted queries for improper personal reasons. People were looking themselves up. They were looking their ex-lovers up. Who has been held accountable or fired as a consequence of the FBI using the FISA process as their, like, creepy personal snoop machine?
There have been instances in which individuals have had disciplinary action and who are no longer with it. I can't get into it here, but we can follow back up.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not.
That was Matt Gaetz from Florida. What was your take on the whole Christopher Wray yesterday?
Well, only 37% of Americans have a favorable view of the FBI, and yesterday continued to reinforce why. Matt Gaetz hit on something that the FBI has been accused of, and it has come to light, and that's their targeting of innocent Americans. He admitted yesterday, Director Wray admitted yesterday, that the government has been working with financial institutions like Bank of America, giving the FBI access to gun purchase records without any warrants or subpoenas. The FBI, if you remember, sent 25 agents to the home of a Catholic dad who prayed outside of an abortion center. The FBI has specifically targeted pro-life activists, but yesterday it was revealed the greatest number of violent cases involved attacks on pro-life targets. As you just heard from Representative Gaetz, hundreds of thousands of inappropriate FISA warrants surveilling innocent Americans. Director Wray couldn't even say how many people were victims of this surveillance, nor could he say how if these agents who abused the FISA warrant system were punished in any way. So the politicization of a law enforcement agency, it is wrong, regardless of if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You would expect this from Venezuela, Cuba. You would not expect this from the United States of America.
Well, this is Brother Johnny. I was going to ask you, you probably have to argue a little bit about the whole concept of America first. It's pretty fundamental because there's people that just don't think we should be first and taking care of our own people first. And I think some of those organizations like the FBI, and they're not the only one, are just out of control. And there's no foundation or I guess loyalty or whatever you want to call it. But I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, and not just the FBI, but what about the Biden family? I mean, it's come to light thanks to Ways and Means and Oversight Committee in Congress, the Republicans on those committees that are showing, you know, the whistleblowers, the bank transactions, the text messages. That was something Representative Gaetz highlighted yesterday as well. The text messages about how Hunter Biden saying, wire me the money, I'm sitting next to my father. That was a shakedown. So when you have people in the White House, when you have people in the Department of Justice, when you have people in the FBI, and let's go a step further, not to completely get off topic here, but even Department of Homeland Security, when our borders are wide open, this administration is not an administration that values America first policies and does not want to put the American people first, and that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, how do we get out of this? I mean, how do we change? Well, if we don't like what the FBI is doing, Congress can hold the purse strings, right?
Yeah, so there's actually quite a few solutions. America First Policy Institute, which is our research arm, put out a memo a couple months ago. A couple highlights from that is, number one, you separate the FBI's counterintelligence and law enforcement authorities. Number two, you know, Director Wray repeatedly said he was not aware of parts of the investigation with the Biden family. If that's true, then there needs to be appropriate upward notifications on sensitive cases. There is absolutely no reason why investigations concerning sensitive matters, where ultimately accountability rests on those officials, they should not know about it. Number three, we need to create specific guidance to increase the standard for initiating investigations. Look at Crossfire Hurricane, for example. We need to make sure that situations like that never happen again. Another issue is stopping the culture leak of the culture of leaking to the media.
Yeah.
If someone has a clearance and is leaking information, why do they still have a clearance? Why are they allowed to keep their clearance?
Well, we're under investigation. We'll get back to you. We'll follow up on that one. I mean, they just continue to just drag the thing. You never hear anything. Political strategist, America First Works, Executive Director Ashley Hayek. How do people find you, Ashley?
AmericaFirstWorks.com.
Hey, thanks for being on. Appreciate it. ESPN 93.5. It is Thursday. It is July 13. Sports headlines.
Johnny, did you watch the All-Star game, Major League Baseball?
I didn't watch it.
Well, you weren't alone. Yeah. Evidently, it went down again this year. Just over 7 million this year. It was 7.5 million last year.
What was a good number 20 years ago?
A lot more. I just don't know.
Yeah, we just have a diversified audience.
Yeah, and again, we had it on kind of like a parade. It was like on in the is
in the background.
Look at that float. Right. Yeah, you know, it's just like whatever.
Well, I think that the NBA and the NFL, all the Pro Bowl and the All-Star break for those teams probably just get more a different kind of crowd that wants to look at the celebrities. It's not a sporting event.
Yeah, right. And who watches the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, you do if you want to go if you're a real kind of fan of the personalities, but it's not this football. It's not the rah-rah football people. So it's a different crowd and there's less people tuning in.
And if you want to see fancy dunks in an All-Star game basketball, I mean, you can see that too. So.
Or we can show you that. I mean, we have to lower the rim.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, when it comes to the Home Run Derby, it was down 11%, usually that attracts a lot more.
Fun to watch that.
Right, but that was at 6.1 million. Mm. So anyway, when it comes to baseball, they're getting the international games lined up when it comes to Seoul, Korea.
You're going to open the year next year in Seoul, South Korea.
Really?
And that's on March 20th and 21st with the LA Dodgers and San Diego Padres.
Season starting next March 20?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, because it's in March, the 20th and 21st, could it be an exhibition?
I think they open the season. That means the season starts.
That seems so early.
Cardinals and Cubs, another day off, but the Cardinals return to St. Louis tomorrow night.
The Cardinals take the final day of the All-Star break today before resuming the season. Tomorrow night at Busch Stadium, that'll be the start of a three-game series against the Washington Nationals, and the homestand also includes a three-game series against the Miami Marlins. When the Cardinals return home to face the Nationals, it'll be the first time they've been home since the first weekend in July when they took two of three games from the New York Yankees. The second half of the schedule is more favorable to the Redbirds in terms of home games. The Cards will play six more home games after the All-Star break than they did before the All-Star break. They've got a huge homestand, in fact, the longest of the year, that will span the end of July into August. That includes a four-game weekend series with the Chicago Cubs, a series against the Twins, and another against Colorado. It's the Cards and the Nationals to open the second half on Friday night at Busch Stadium. That first pitch comes at 7:15. For the Cardinals Radio Network, I'm Joe Pod.
The Cardinals Hall of Fame and Museum is the official home of Cardinals history. For those who want to be a part of one of the sport's greatest collections in the world, museum membership is the way to go. Cardinals Museum membership provides unlimited admission for 1 year, exclusive Hall of Fame bobbleheads, discounts, ticket offers, and more, in addition to supporting exhibit design and artifact restoration. There are a variety of membership levels, including our ultimate level of membership. For more info and to join, go to cardinals.com.
Well, we had the ESPYs with the best athlete in men's sports, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
The best athlete in women's sports, Michaela Schifrin.
He's a skier. A skier won best female athlete.
Lionel Messi for the soccer. It was interesting to see.
I got a few clips. I got Patrick Mahomes. I got the guy that says he's staying in the NBA. LeBron's got another year, he said. So,
all right.
He announced that last night.
All righty.
Weather brought to you by Carl.
And Carl reminds you they're always looking to increase their team. If you have a service heart and like healthcare and they have opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
Logan, everyone, let's check weather for East Central Illinois. Champaign and Manhattan Saturday, and some folks getting some drenching rains yesterday out up to the north. And, of course, no less than 8 tornadoes reported over parts of north and northeastern Illinois, in particular in the Chicago metropolitan area. Now, the storms of today down towards the Ozarks, easing the heat down there temporarily back into a heat wave weather pattern over the southern and southwestern sections of the country in the days to come. And next week as well, we'll stay on the northeastern flank of some of that and keeps our weather pattern quite active here for the foreseeable future. Maybe a stray shower thunderstorm in a couple of spots later this afternoon, becoming partly sunny after a couple of fog patches this morning at 83. 66 tonight, a stray shower thunderstorm in spots early. Tomorrow, partly sunny, an isolated shower thunderstorm again. Late morning into the afternoon, the high around 87. More widespread showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night through Saturday morning. Highs on Saturday up to 86, and then hit miss potential for Sunday back into Monday and mid to late next week as well. For CVG Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. UC Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
I'm Elizabeth McDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Delta Airlines shares are rallying its earnings top forecasts and rose to a record. It's also raising its predictions for the year. Delta CEO Ed Bastian says the travel rebound is not a short-term phenomenon, but a change in the way consumers choose to spend time and money. He says travel demand shows no sign of slowing. PepsiCo also is reporting an upbeat quarter. The parent company of Pepsi Beverages, Frito-Lay, and Gatorade is also boosting its prediction for the year. The company says the investments it's been making are paying off. Walt Disney is extending CEO Robert Iger's contract through December of 2026, and Disney shares are higher. And Reuters says Tesla is talking with India's government about setting up a factory there. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosola, invested in you.
Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Pepsi-Cola Champaign-Urbana Bottling, proud to announce applications are being accepted for commercial drivers and merchandisers. Fayon really enjoys his job.
Just driving past, they had a nail hiring sign up there, decided to check them out. I always heard about Pepsi as a company they are, and then went to go check them out. Met the owner, who was very family-oriented, so I kind of like that. I did an online application, then did a paper application. I got a call back the next day. Best decision I ever made.
To view all openings and apply, visit PepsiColaCU.com. Equal opportunity employer.
You spend half of your life indoors. That's half of your life underneath your roof. Who do you trust to keep you safe and dry underneath it? The name to remember is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors understands the harsh weather conditions that your roof endures because they're a family and locally owned business. From your community, for your community, the doctors who make the house calls, Roof Doctors, at roofdoctors.com or phone 328-7529. Rest easy under a roof that's been treated by Roof Doctors.
Ready for an exciting change? At Merle Norman, we can take your look from ordinary to extraordinary in a matter of minutes. Our innovative skincare, perfectly matched foundations, and on-trend colors will make a difference that's written all over your face. Come in and see what a makeover can do. We'll help select the products that are just right for you, and we'll teach you tips that the pros know about applying your most flattering shades. Ask for your free express makeover today, calling 217-359-8100 or visit 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
Okay, so today is Thursday. We have John Decker coming up. It's great television's White House correspondent who took a holiday last week. He was in Italy hanging out. He sent me some pictures and pretty nice.
Yeah.
So on some island somewhere. Anyway, that'll be coming up in a few minutes. Our Stever offer, the program where I, Stevie J, give you my money and you spend it. I told somebody the other day this. She was cutting my hair, and she went, "You do what?" I said, "Yeah, I kind of hand out money."
She That's went, right.
I love that.
It's great.
I love that.
People love it.
Anyway, I'm giving you $50 if you want to buy some pizzas.
Excellent. Jet's Pizza, located at 1907 West Springfield Avenue. That's the Round Barn location, or 512 South Neal Street. That's the one that's been renovated inside the last year at Neal and Green.
So if you want pizza from Jet's, and everybody loves Jet's Pizza, it's so good. They, you know, homemade sauce. Mm-hmm. They never flash freeze the cheese. So it's fresh, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
And the effort they put, well, it's $3 more. Well, because they do all the extra stuff to hand make everything.
And I like the way they do the chicken bacon ranch. Oh, they've got a chicken parmesan. Yeah. They've got the Eugene Supreme that has mozzarella and Italian sausage, onions, green peppers, mild peppers. That one's a delicious choice, too. Every day, their lunch special has a couple of slices and a soda or drink, and it's under $10.
Yeah. So there you go, Jets again, right there at Green and Neal, and then Round Barn. Where a Blockbuster used to be around Barn.
That's
where they,
right.
Yeah. Part of that area. Building. They have like a dental thing or
they
something.
They do.
Yeah. Anyway, it's gostever.com this morning. Do it online. and just go get entered, and you might get an email tonight saying you won. Then you have 7 days to spend my money, and then you fill out your survey.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't fill out your survey, I got to let you go.
Take care of your family. Take care of your staff. Pizza, wings, salads, quality ingredients. We used it for the rehearsal dinner a month ago.
Well, you loaded up. You got a lot of pizza.
And everybody was happy.
Diane and I always wait to see if anybody enters, and we've never had a chance to get Jeff. So. Never.
Darn it.
All right. So it's ESPN 93.5. John Decker coming up. We'll talk news of the day.
Steve, by the way, you mentioned Blockbuster. That reminds me of another one of your stock tips. Good job.
Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Is that one of my stock tips?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. It went fortunately.
Well, you know what? That one was tough because it was gone instantly.
I remember renting. I used to take the kids and we'd all get one movie.
Right.
And I remember the whole Be Kind, Rewind.
No kidding.
And I was thinking, you know, someday there's just going to be unnecessary because you're going to be able to just get it on your TV. And lo and behold, you can watch anything you want on the TV.
How
now.
About your phone?
You can. The screen's not very big.
No, but you can get it. So what?
Okay. And it's the president over at the whatever that summit was. And apparently Sweden is now joining NATO.
Yeah.
And Ukraine is conditional, and Vladimir Zelensky was unhappy because it's conditional and they weren't invited and all these other things. And the whole philosophy of NATO is, here's what, it's like, I'm going to partner with the Rock, and if anybody picks on me, you're picking on Rock, right? I mean, so if anybody gets attacked, everybody's attacked. It's the philosophy.
Yeah.
But isn't America kind of NATO? I mean, are we the only ones that really can defend?
I don't think we need to be signing up for that. We're going to take a big part of whatever happens.
And yeah, that's what I mean. It's not equal partners. It's not like Lithuania can protect me.
No, we're protecting them.
Right.
And
so,
Sweden.
So
Sweden's not got a big army. Okay.
No. But if something happens, those guys will send 100 guys. 100. I mean, we're doing it all. Aren't we always doing it all? We're trying to protect democracy and freedom and liberty. But America's got the load. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think Russia's a threat to take over Europe, but I'm not I'm not an international strategist, but I do know this. We shouldn't have pushed that Ukraine NATO thing because look what it did to Ukraine. The idea is to protect a country, and we basically provoked the whole thing. And you can argue that, but Putin said he was going to wreck Ukraine if we kept pushing the NATO thing. He's not going to have it, and he wrecked Ukraine. And by the way, we're doing a lot now, but what were we doing when they were lined up on the border for 7 months?
Nothing.
Nothing. In fact, almost inviting
Why
them
didn't
in.
We do something when they were lined up on the border? It would have been before everything got bombed and all the people died.
Big question.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, to end the war, you're going to have to give up about 20% of your country. So that's kind of the deal.
I think that would be actually a pretty good outcome right now.
Yeah, right now. I agree. All right, talk more about that and other items here. The ESPYs again last night. It was, hold on, I got some stuff. Patrick Mahomes was named the best athlete, and best male athlete, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't argue very hard against that one.
I know.
Good grief. I couldn't believe he was able to carry off the Super Bowl with, he was injured, and he's still really
good.
Came through as MVP and everything else.
I don't care how many more points I score or what I can or cannot do on the floor. The real question for me is, can I play without cheating this game? The day I can't give the game everything on the floor is the day I'll be done. Lucky for you guys, that day is not today.
LeBron James making his announcement about coming back another year.
Yep. Interesting, he said lucky for you guys.
Yeah, I know.
What does that mean?
I don't know, like you're lucky to have me?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I wouldn't have said it quite like that, but yeah, okay, well. He's LeBron James all time. He passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in scoring.
He's been amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many years he's played.
I mean, he's like 20, isn't it? He came at 19. And I remember the buzz about this kid in Cleveland, Akron, Canton, Cleveland. Maybe it was Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland. And he was driving this fancy Jeep playing high school basketball.
Ooh, well, he was in Akron. Don't go. Yeah. Mom and LeBron are
he's
both
from Akron.
He's an Akron
guy.
Ohio.
Okay, so he played high school ball, went right to the NBA and became a...
Is his son going to play in the NBA?
Bronny is the guy they want. He wants to play with his son, but Michael Jordan's sons played basketball, and they were good.
Yeah.
But how do you...
How do you do that? I mean, it's just tough.
Yeah, that's quite a shadow to be under.
How do you do it? One quick Patrick Mahomes.
It was an incredible season. There's many ups, many downs. I just want to thank my teammates and coaches for basically just making me look good, honestly. Because, I I'm quarterback. I just got to throw the ball and let guys like Trav work. So I appreciate my teammates, my coaches, the guys that are here.
With franchises in the $5 and $7 billion, isn't $500 million worth for Patrick Mahomes for 10 years? Maybe it is. I mean, it's a remarkable statement. But it's just when the franchises are so valuable, he's so good. More coming up. John Decker next. ESPN 93.5. We're at 7:30 on this Thursday.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. It's the final day of President Biden's European trip. He's meeting with Nordic leaders in Finland, but Ukraine is ever present following the end of the two-day NATO summit.
So much of the focus this week has been about Ukraine. We've seen the president as well as G7 nations pledge additional support and assistance guarantees. President Biden says he's even considering sending Ukraine long-range missiles as the war against Russia drags on.
Fox's Mark Meredith of the White House, NSC's coordinator for strategic communication. John Kirby saying earlier, President Biden and President Zelensky had a very constructive conversation. For Vice President Mike Pence trying to reach the debate stage, his brother, Indiana Congressman Greg Pence.
He's the type of person that we need, and I would encourage all your viewers to go to his website and donate and help him out.
Congressman on Fox Business America is listening to Fox News.
Here's a look at local news. I'm Jim Miller. Illinois Housing Development Authority seeking applications for up to $75 million in state and federal funding, creating permanent supportive housing. It'll be for persons with disabilities, those struggling with homelessness, and other vulnerable populations. Decatur police asking for the public's help in identifying a woman who stole a charity donation jar from a gas station. They say July 3rd, the woman threw a temper tantrum over what they called a petty dispute with a gas station. As part of that tantrum, the woman grabbed the donation jar and left. Astronaut and University of Illinois alum Mike Hopkins retiring from NASA. Agency announced this week after 14 years, Hopkins ending his astronaut career May 1st. At the same time, he also wrapped up a 30-year career in the U.S. Air Force and Space Force, retiring with the rank of colonel. Hopkins, a native of Lebanon, Missouri, graduated from the University of Illinois back in 1991. You're up to date from the Stevie J Broadcasting Newsroom. I'm Jim Miller.
Hello again, everyone. Let's check weather for East Central Illinois. Champaign and Van Nuys Saturday in the old Champaign Splitsville thing occurred, but at least missing out on severe weather with no less than 6 to 8 tornadoes reported over parts of Northeast Illinois and that Chicago metropolitan area as well. Some pretty good rains over the northern end of the state, clipping some of our northern listing areas yesterday. Currently, that storm pattern lurks down south of the Ozarks. Heatwave weather continues on the southern plains over the southwestern states. And on top of these upper-level winds, these ridge-riding thunderstorms, they are back into play here for the end part of the week, early on into the weekend. We'll do it all over again for next week, so hang in there. More rain back in the forecast. Just a bubble-up stray shower thunderstorm this afternoon, turning partly sunny. A little fog patch around here early on this morning at 83, down tonight to 66. 6 tomorrow, 30% chance for late morning and afternoon shower thunderstorm, the high about 87. Then widespread showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night through Saturday morning, a Saturday high of 86. Small chance for a shower on Sunday with a high near 88. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solgay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. John Decker! John Decker! John Decker! I want to talk to John Decker! He is the one we know! I want to talk to John Decker. He's at the White House in press room.
John Decker. John Decker. I want to talk to John Decker.
Yes, children now singing this song.
John Decker.
Off his holiday in Italy, John Decker is back. Why does the Wimbledon on my screen here in the studio mesmerize me so much? I just keep watching and I can't believe how good humans can get at tennis.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the grass. I mean, it's remarkable to see players. I've played on grass. It's not the same as playing on a hard court or on clay. It's a very unique skill set, and I'm always amazed of players. There are very few of them who can go from playing all of these clay court matches to going over to Wimbledon, playing on grass, and doing incredibly well, and that's Novak Djokovic right now. I mean, he's on the way to winning another Grand Slam.
It's Brother Johnny also here, and Diane and
hey,
I.
Johnny.
Hey, John.
I also want to play the little doubles, you and Johnny against me and Christopher Eubanks. See how they. This Chris Eubanks is 6'7", can thwack it, not to the quarterfinals. I mean, there's stories like that. And again, I guess all sports have this incredible capability. Everybody's gotten better in their craft because they work at it since they're four with special coaches. Well, again, human getting good like that at a sport is stunning.
Yeah, it really, that's why I love athletics. I love sports, every sport practically. And tennis, is my passion. And, you know, Christopher Eubanks, I have to tell you, you know, and I'm in the tennis world. I'm a member of the board of the International Tennis Hall of Fame. I know practically every player out there. And I must tell you, a year ago, I never heard of Christopher Eubanks. Wow. Here he is, 27 years old. Makes the quarterfinals of Wimbledon, and let's hope he keeps it up. Really remarkable story.
Do you get money for getting like quarterfinals or the top 16? Do you still get paid?
That makes his year.
Really?
Making the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam, I'm guessing, this is a good guess here, I'm guessing he walks away with at least $500,000.
Wow, that's a nice little pay. Oh, pays for the hotel, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so NATO and Sweden and Ukraine conditionally and all of it, what does it mean, John Decker?
Well, NATO's expanding, you know. It got its 31st member. That was back in April. That was Finland. And that's a big deal because Finland shares a 700-mile-long border with Russia, so that sends a pretty strong message to Putin. And now Sweden. Sweden's going to become the 32nd member once that's ratified by Turkey's parliament, its National Assembly. That will happen by the end of the year. So pretty remarkable. Two new members right up there in Northern Europe, right on Putin's doorstep in just the past 2 years since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And as for Ukraine, the message that was delivered was that Ukraine's future is in NATO, but it's not happening now, and it's not happening anytime soon, and with good reason. You know, you couldn't accept Ukraine as a member now. First of all, they still need some democratic reforms. That's number one. And more importantly, I think for most members, including the U.S., you have Article 5 of the NATO Charter, which dictates that an attack on one NATO country is an attack on all. You bring NATO in, and then technically we're at war with Russia. That's like World War III. So it's good reason why we're not bringing Ukraine into NATO right now.
And everybody wants to know, where's China in this game? Are they truly aligned with Russia?
Well, they are. I mean, that's Russia's sole ally, really, when you think about it. And it's President Xi is probably the only world leader that can dictate terms to Vladimir Putin. So that's why I've always said, you know, the end of the war, really in the hands of the Chinese and President Xi, because he could say, you know what, Vladimir, end it now. Just, you know, declare victory, go to the bargaining table, end this war, and hopefully that happens. Hopefully that happens within the next, you know, I mean, I don't have a timetable on it, but hopefully it happens relatively soon.
Well, at this point, we were just talking about it. You give up 20% of your land right now, feels like a win. Yeah.
Well, look, you know, I mean, I don't think he anticipated a lot of things. Certainly, he did not anticipate back on February the 24th of last year when he launched this invasion that NATO would become enlarged by two members, Finland and Sweden. You know, traditionally, they are neutral countries. You know, in the case of Sweden, for hundreds of years, that's something he did not anticipate, nor the unity of NATO. I mean, one of the pledges was security assurances for Ukraine. President Zelensky, so that it can defend itself until that day when it is a part of NATO, which means that those weapons, that military equipment, will continue to flow in large numbers to Ukraine for the foreseeable future.
It just still feels like, you know, I'm doing a arm wrestling championship. My partner's The Rock. I mean, it's like going to get to a basketball team together, and I got a bunch of kindergartners on my team. Isn't America still about the only one that can really do anything? It's China, America, and Russia right now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're the three superpowers. I think everybody recognizes that. We've got the big seat at the table. You know, when it's the G7 meeting or the NATO meeting, it's the United States and everybody else. But then you factor in these two other superpowers. I think it's, you know, if you had to rank them, you know, it's U.S., China, Russia. And Russia, you know, used to be a superpower, but, you know, it's not what it used to be. And I think that drives Vladimir Putin crazy.
I was going to ask you, I think it's great the unity of all the countries trying to keep peace, but it also, the other side of that is it's just two more countries we have to worry about taking care of. So that, I don't know. I don't know how much Sweden and Finland have to offer.
Well, they have tremendous militaries and military capabilities. They are valued members of NATO, and they have a commitment. They must contribute 2% of their annual GDP to defense. So that's something that both of them already do, and they will have to continue keeping that up as members of NATO. So that's their part of the bargain, so to speak.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with the Finns.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have a question for John that's a little off the subject, Steve. Just the White House press corps, what's the chemistry, the camaraderie these days? Has it changed since you've been around in the last few years? Or how does that feel with everybody there?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I could write a book about this, and maybe I will someday. You know, it's an interesting mix of people. I think that overall, the type of people that you encounter that are members of the White House press corps, and this goes from news organizations that you barely have heard of to ones that you are quite familiar with, the type of people that you generally encounter, Johnny, are the type of people that you remember from grade school and middle school that stood in the front row, raised their hand all the time at all the questions. Yeah. And, you know, you tell me how you felt about those people.
Yeah. I think I was one of those people.
Yeah, I might have been one of those.
Oh, you were?
Well,
you.
But you. When you go in there, though, and it's not very big, the press room holds how many, 50?
Well, there are 49 seats, 7 rows of 7. So those are the people that are sitting. And then, you know, a briefing, you have people standing on the side. So you probably get, you know, upwards of close to 80, 90 people on any given day. Okay. Sure.
Do their bosses say, you got to get a question today? Is that ever happen?
I don't know. I think it's just difficult. I mean, if you're in the first 3 rows, you are likely to get a question, I would think, be called upon. You know, it becomes a little bit more difficult as you go further back in the room. But it's also a matter of building relationships, you know, with whoever is in the White House, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, so that even if you're not in the, you know, first 3 rows, the press secretary recognizes you and respects you. And, you know, that's something I've had to depend on. You know, I mean, even when I was with Fox, I was in the 4th row. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you have to build, if anything, like anything, you build relationships with these people, and then you just make it so that they respect you, and you know you respect them and their job. And I've always done that.
Well, is that an assigned seat thing, or do you is first come first serve to get in those?
that would be crazy. People would be like a rock concert.
Yeah,
getting last
for sure.
It was like that. Get trampled. No, they're assigned seats. Every one of those 49 seats are assigned, and they're assigned by the White House Correspondents Association. They have control over that, and you know, if you see someone not showing up, then typically you see someone occupying that seat. You know, they fill that seat in. You know, just like you were at a baseball game. You know, if someone doesn't show up, you move down a little bit.
Right? I was just thinking, with all the disagreements and different ways of looking at things, there is that something tying you all together as part of that press corps. You know.
Well, that's right. Well, there is. You know, I mean, we're all searching for answers and trying to get answers to our questions to provide to the public. So there is that, you know, and that is a form of public service. I consider it that way. And holding leaders to account, you know, beyond that, you know, questioning leaders on tough issues, you know, regardless of, again, what party they're in.
So it's John Decker on the Tavis Joint phone line. Great Television's White House correspondent on ESPN 93.5. So if I'm sitting next to John Decker, Stevie J sitting next to John Decker, and John Decker asks questions like, tell me about the Hunter Biden investigation and the alleged checks they've been receiving from the Chinese businessman, and then I ask, what kind of double dip ice cream will the president have this weekend at Camp David? Won't I get, because it's human nature, won't I get more opportunities than you?
Yeah, you're going to be, you know, it's a tough day. for the press secretary, and you're going to search out for that person that always asks those ice cream questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what happens.
So,
that's human nature.
But human nature, because it's a softball thing, as opposed, and there's plenty of softballs that come from the White House press corps, in my opinion. Because if I'm asking about, you know, how does the president do it? I'm going to get more than you.
It's such a tough job.
Yeah.
But you still get called on. So, I mean, I'll give them credit for that.
And you keep pressing and you get follow-ups and you just keep talking. How do you know you got one when you keep talking and everybody's talking? Just eye contact with Karine Jean-Pierre?
Yeah, I think that's right. Or with President Biden, you know, because there are instances where that happens as well. You know, certainly when you're in very close proximity to him, like if I'm in the Roosevelt room at the White House or in the cabinet room or in the Oval Office where I have an opportunity where I'm just a few feet away from the president, making eye contact. And also, you know, it helps. You know this, Stevie. You're in the broadcast business. It helps that I've got a more powerful voice than some of the people that are in print, for instance, who might want to ask a question of the president.
Yeah. Okay, the president's never called you a stupid SOB, right?
He's never called me that. No.
That was reserved for Peter Ducey at Fox News. And then Peter Ducey got a call from Biden, and he said, "Nothing personal, pal."
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's too
funny.
That is funny.
Well, would the president ever sit down with you, or you're too serious?
Sit down with me for an interview?
Yes.
I hope so. You know, I think that there's advantages, you know, to sitting down with me. You know, I think, God, I've got a big microphone in the sense that, you know, I can get whatever it is in terms of the message that he wants to try to get out to lots of places all throughout the country. And I'm fair. You know, I'm not going to, you know, just throw gotcha questions at him one after another. I'm fair. But I'm also going to be tough, you know, tough but fair. And I think that is something that concerns those who work for the president in choosing who it is that he sits down and does interviews with. I'll give you an example. He did an interview, I think most recently, he did an interview with, what's her name, Nicole Wallace from MSNBC.
He walked off at the end. He walked off.
It's just like, 20
minute
interview.
Bye.
20-minute interview, no questions about Hunter Biden. You know, just nothing about Hunter Biden. And, you know, the White House knows full well when they choose those interviewers what kind of interview they're likely to get. And, you know, not to say that she didn't ask good questions, but she didn't ask that question, which I think is a relevant question to ask the president now, in the sense that his son just is federal government. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. It doesn't happen every day. That's news.
Yeah. See, if I...
that's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
He obviously didn't know his mic was on. So
Or maybe he did. I don't know. Who knows? Right? Yeah. With Joe Biden, maybe he did know that.
The problem, John, the drawback if I'm working for the president is you're not going to support his spin moves as much as they would like. So you're just going to call him on some of that stuff. And
that's right.
But that's what makes you John Decker. So that's good. Keep it up.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you, and I hope you got refreshed on a week off, I would think.
Yeah, how could you not? Yeah, it's a good way to recharge your batteries in the summertime, and good to be back in the U.S., and the president comes back from his overseas trip. That'll be tonight, so he'll be back at work on Friday. I don't know if we'll actually see President Biden back at work on Friday. He generally takes, you know, some rest from the vacation.
Rest
some time off. They're long days for him. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're meeting after meeting after meeting. He's still likely, you know, on East Coast time. So it's tough. It's tough to recover. And, you know, that's what he'll likely use his weekend to do, to recover from this 4 or 5 day trip that he's taken to Europe.
All right. So we got a Republican debate coming up next month.
Okay. I can't wait for that.
Donald Trump says he's not going to the first two. Do you think he'll stand by that?
And how many we got? Yeah. About 10 or 12?
Well, we got 5 or 6 that have qualified now. I think the qualified.
I think the number's actually 8. Okay. Eight have qualified.
Wow.
8 have qualified, which is a good number up on that debate stage. That includes Donald Trump, who may or may not show up August the 23rd in Milwaukee. But look, you know, I think, first of all, he's very good at those multi-candidate debates. I think he won every debate with multi-candidates in 2016 when he was competing for the Republican nomination. That's number one. And, you know, number two, I don't think he wants to give the spotlight to anybody else. You know, just say, okay, you guys go at it. I'm going to say, you know, he'll probably have a, if he doesn't show up to that first debate in August 23rd, I have no doubt, he'll have a campaign rally somewhere in the country
time.
To compete.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I kind of agree with you that he's just not going to be able to stay away. It's too much fun.
Yeah,
too much fun. Hey, but you know what? Why am I'm very, very intrigued still by Robert Kennedy Jr. Why am I so intrigued and enjoy watching him do push-ups? Why is that, John Decker?
I have no idea. You answer that question.
I mean, it's just he's a unique candidate. Yeah. He's rubbing the Democrats.
Well, I like him because he's got the other side so balled up
and
contorted. And I've always liked him.
Yeah, part of it, I think, is the fact that he is the son of Robert Kennedy. And that I mean, if it was just, you know, Joe Blow, I don't think you'd be interested in some guy who hasn't run for anything before or held public office before. Just, you know, with a good physique, you know, running for president. But he's essentially a part of American royalty, being a Kennedy.
No, that's right.
I think that's the reason why he gets a lot of attention.
Well, he's also, I like it because he is a true blue, straight-shooting liberal, okay? I don't agree with a lot of the liberals. But like Bobby Kennedy was a straight-shooting guy. That's what he thought. He said what he thought. There's no manipulations. The spin factors are normal. They're not just outrageous.
Sure.
And I have no problem with that. We've gone way off the deep end on some of our conversations and the way. And now, okay, if you don't agree, we got to shut you up.
So
that's not a liberal. And Kennedy's a liberal, but he's talking a good game. I like listening to him.
I'm telling you.
I wish he had a John Decker voice.
What happened to his voice, John? Do you know?
I look this up every now and then, and it's a medical issue that he has, unfortunately.
Right.
So, yeah, that's unfortunate, you know, because, you know, when you think about his uncle, John Kennedy, the former president, he had a voice. And he's like, boy, he was a great communicator, and it's unfortunate he does not have that skill set that his Uncle John had, or his father, Robert Kennedy, had.
Well, I'm quite certain Vivek Ramaswamy would win if it was Presidential Jeopardy. I'm quite certain. Because I like watching him talk. He's a really smart guy.
I like him a lot.
Well, I think, there's a poll I've seen which has him in third place.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty remarkable. You know, you think about all the money that's been spent by various candidates. Donald Trump, obviously, 100% name ID. He's way ahead in first place. And then, you know, double digit behind, but in second place you have Florida Governor DeSantis, and then you have Vivek.
Well,
pretty remarkable.
Vivek Ramaswamy. He would appeal to the younger
energy
in the country, and I like the guy. And like you say, he's extremely smart.
I mean, really.
I think he's probably even smarter than Joe. So.
Listen, he's fun. He's fun. I guess I feel about Vivek Ramaswamy like I did about Newt Gingrich. I wasn't afraid. Whoever he talked to, I thought he could handle it. And I think that Vivek's that kind of a smart. John Decker, it's great television's White House correspondent. We really appreciate always chatting with you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure for me too, Stevie. Johnny, have a great day.
All right, welcome back to work.
Welcome back to work, man.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week for sure.
You as well. Thank you so much. It's John Decker on the he's near the White House in the home office. He sent me a picture of his home office, and on the back of his chair was a Air Force One pillow.
Yeah.
I said,
he sounds like he's roamed through the White House routinely.
He sent me stuff from Air Force One.
Yeah.
It was the M&Ms and a napkin, and it has Air Force One on it. It's pretty
cool.
Can't go by that Dollar General.
Come on.
7:54.
I did look up Robert Kennedy Jr. He spoke to a town hall in Chicago. Suffers from neurological condition called spasmodic dysphonia. It's the degeneration of your vocal cords.
Shoot, darn it.
It started when he was 46. Used to be a very strong singer. speaker could speak to large halls without amplification, he was saying to the public. But it's just at the age of 42 in 1996, I got struck with this disease.
Wow, that's too bad. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I take him today for sure over what I got.
Well, I would too.
I mean, I'd take Robert Kennedy Jr. today. Anyway, I like him. I like the fact that he's not afraid to speak out.
I just think he's on. So. He's honest. You know, like Jimmy Carter. They may be wrong, but at least they're honest.
Oh, yeah, I like it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm. And Robert Kennedy, a lot of things he's talking about, I agree with.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah.
Weather this morning, ESPN 93.5 with Greg Solier.
Logan, everyone, let's check weather for East Central Illinois, Champaign, and Van Ham vicinity. And some folks getting some drenching rains yesterday on up to the north. And, of course, no less than 8 tornadoes reported over parts of north and northeastern Illinois, in particular in the Chicago metropolitan area. Now, the storms of today down towards the Ozarks, easing the heat down there temporarily back into a heat wave weather pattern over the southern and southwestern sections of the country in the days to come. And next week as well, we'll stay on the northeastern flank of some of that and keeps our weather pattern quite active here for the foreseeable future. Maybe a stray shower thunderstorm in a couple of spots later this afternoon, becoming partly sunny after a couple of fog patches this morning at 83. 66 tonight, a stray shower thunderstorm in spots early. Tomorrow, partly sunny, an isolated shower thunderstorm again. Late morning into the afternoon, the high around 87. More widespread shower thunderstorms tomorrow night through Saturday morning. Highs on Saturday up to 86, and then hit miss potential for Sunday back into Monday and mid to late next week as well. For CVG Broadcasting, I'd be...
Here's what one shopper said about Pard's Western Shop in Urbana, 306 North Maple, between Main and University. He said, sure, you can find boots at some big box stores, but nothing like Pard's selections. They're unique, they're local, and they have an excellent store. So many people that visit Pard's in Urbana say the same thing. Pards in Urbana, 306 North Maple, you can find the best boots in the world and shop local. Visit Pards.com, Pards.com. Thursdays, we call Nathanielson, who's in Chicago. Nathanielson, how are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm well. How are you?
Well, we're fine. We do a series called Did You Know? And Nathaniel digs up information about stuff we did not know. My son Nathaniel called him Nathanielson, tip of the cap to the Karate Kid, and lets you know who he is, kind of like brother Johnny.
Hey, Nathaniel, how you doing?
Hey, Johnny, good morning.
Well, right, Nathanielson, what do you know?
Well, this morning we have the privilege of discussing a topic we all know and love, and to be honest, it might be the only thing people can agree on anymore, and that is sports. Now, if anyone's like me, they've maybe wondered to themselves, I wonder who has been the most dominant team in a sport, or who has the longest winning streak in history. And I've got a few to go through, some of which I know both of you will know because of stories of Dad that you have told me, and then a couple others that maybe we're less familiar with. So, first of all, let me just get a couple out of the way. Based on research, it seems like the longest winning streak for games won in a row is a squash player from Pakistan, named Jahangir Khan, and he did win 555 consecutive squash matches. That went from 1981 to 1986. He was undefeated.
Dominating.
In the NFL, the New England Patriots from 2003 to 2004 won 21 straight games. Now, I remember in 2003, Adam Vinatieri kicked the winning field goal, and I think he did it again in 2004.
Yeah, I think
so. For the NFL, the Patriots hold the record. In tennis, Bjorn Borg has won the most tennis matches in a row with 53 consecutive that span 1977 to 1978. Now, Dad and Johnny, one I know you both know and are far more familiar with because you lived it, in the NCAA basketball from 1966
UCLA, 88 wins.
Yeah.
Yep. And so from 66 to 73, their record was 205 wins to 5 losses.
That's unbelievable.
Now, Johnny, as you mentioned, they had 88 consecutive wins, and they lost to number 2 Notre Dame.
Yeah, and I flipped our picnic table when Notre Dame beat them, and they called traveling on Bibby and a charge on Wilkins. I'll never – so I can go over the game if you'd like
later.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. But that's not the longest, Nathaniel. That's not the longest.
Well, you know, there's an interesting one that the longest winning streak from a perspective of time. This winning streak spans from the presidency of Millard Fillmore to Ronald Reagan. It started before the Civil War, went through both World Wars, and ended after the Vietnam War. This is the America's Cup sailing race. It's competed for every 4 years, and from 1851 to 1983, for 132 years, the United States, and more specifically the New York Yacht Club, held and successfully defended the title 26 consecutive times.
That's amazing. Often dominated in finals. Millard Fillmore.
They were beaten in 1983 by Australia, the Royal Perth Yacht Club. And there's a great documentary on Netflix depicting that final race for anyone who's interested.
There you go. Did you know, Nathaniel?
That's very interesting. It's
Millard Fillmore to Ronald Reagan. Look that one up.
That still ticks me off in the game. But anyway.
Thank you, Nathaniel. You're the best.